morning again. I brought a short text this morning, only got 3 pages of notes, so you may get out of here early. I want to talk about transformed this morning. The Apostle Paul implied to me that we have an active part in our sanctification. If you're not familiar with the word sanctification, it means holiness. When we come to Christ, we come as we are, but God has no intention of leaving us that way. And the scriptures say that he's constantly working and molding us into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, when I was in Bible college, we studied a few different church beliefs. And I know some believe that the Holy Spirit does it all. You have no part in it. And I disagree with that, and I think the Apostle Paul would also disagree with it. So that's what I want to talk about this morning. The text is out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Very familiar text if you've read the Bible very long at all. The apostle says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Father, we thank you that you have left your word here for us. We thank you again, Father, that we live in a country where we may gather and study your word without fear of persecution. We pray that it'll stay that way here, Father. I just pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you will increase, that I might decrease, and that you will take this word to our hearts. Encourage us, Lord, where we need encouragement. Warn us where we need warning. I just ask your blessing on all who are here this morning in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, the Bible says that we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and on this most churches agree. But when it comes to the process of ongoing sanctification, growing in the Lord, there are as many opinions probably as there are churches. And as I said, Paul to me seems to imply that the believer is also responsible for their growth. Now, I may be preaching to the choir this morning. You might say, hey, we know all this. But I think it's good for us to touch on this, to be reminded of it. A believer is not to think like the world. We saw that in this text. Paul said, don't be conformed to the world. Why not? Well, the Bible says if you're a friend of the world, you're God's enemy. Now, it doesn't mean that we need to be like the Pharisees and be so separated from the world, you know, that we think we're a little above everything, we're a little above everybody, we're a little more righteous than others. That's not what Paul's advocating here. But he is advocating a transformation in our lives. When anyone is truly converted to Christ, a marvelous thing happens. The Bible teaches us that the Spirit of Christ comes and lives within us. And he begins a work in us. He begins to shape us and mold us into the people that God wants us to be. I know in my own salvation, I noticed immediately a change of attitude, my attitude. Things that I'd never considered very important, I began to think about more. Things that I thought were real important were less important, if I can say it that way. My attitude began to change about what I read, about what I watched, about the kind of music I listened to. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. But the Apostle Paul, I believe, was always taught the church that we have to work with him. Now, you know I believe in free will. Some churches don't. And they think if you do, you're taken away from God's sovereign power. I don't feel that way at all. Free will is a gift that God gave each and every one of us. We see it in the Garden of Eden when he told Adam, don't eat off of that tree or you'll die. And Adam and Eve chose to eat off of it. To me, that proves free will. God didn't want them eating off of it. He said, you're not going to like the consequences. If you eat off his tree, you're going to die. And the scripture says when they did, when they disobeyed an act of the will, when they disobeyed God, sin and death entered the world. And you and I live in a fallen world today because of the disobedience of our first parents. And what I believe Paul teaches in his epistles is that we are to work with God in our transformation. As I said, when we come to Christ, we are transformed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said we are born again. I remember once hearing Ronald Reagan say he was asked if he was a born-again Christian. He said, I'm not familiar with that term. I consider myself a Christian, and I thought that's kind of sad. If you're a Christian, you're not familiar with the term born again, because Jesus said if you're not born again, you can't inherit the kingdom of heaven. You won't enter heaven. And the Greek says born from above. So there's a very definite work that happens through the Holy Spirit in the life of a person who comes to Jesus Christ. A transformation begins. It's the beginning point. And some believe, well, the Holy Spirit has to do all of it. And the problem I've always had with that is if you don't progress and you don't grow, you can turn around and lay it at God's feet. Well, evidently God doesn't want me to grow. Evidently I've reached where I need to be. I don't need to mature anymore. You know, Christian, when you get in that kind of a mindset, you're in trouble. You make yourself an open prey for the enemy. He knows your weaknesses. He knows mine. He knows when to attack and where to attack us. And pride is one of the worst sins that we can be guilty of as Christians. Paul said not to think of ourselves more highly than we should. And I think that's very good advice. It's sad that so many people want to read Scripture, but they don't want to heed it. You know, God didn't leave this book here just for us to get smarter. I heard a minister talking about that this morning. It doesn't do any good to read the Word and to acquire all this knowledge if you don't apply that knowledge. That's why God left it here. It's to be applied to our lives. That's part of the growth process that you and I go through. You can read this book, you can agree with this book, but if you refuse to live by this book, you're spitting in the wind. Allow me to be lewd. You're not accomplishing anything. I picked a sister text this morning to try to illustrate this point that Paul is making. It's out of Colossians 3, and I want you to listen to this text and see how many times it seems like Paul implies, you do this. He doesn't say, sit back and wait for the Holy Spirit to do this. Now the Holy Spirit is actively working in our lives, but see if you can hear how many times Paul seems to say, you do it. You take the initiative. You do this. It's out of Colossians 3. He says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. You do it. You seek. You look above. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above. That takes effort on your part and on my part. We have to set our mind on heavenly things. I've heard people for years say, well, you don't want to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I really don't think that's possible, but it is very possible for a Christian to be so earthly minded that they're no heavenly good. That's a place we don't want to be, church. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that he pulled us out of the domain of darkness. The Greek says he pulled us up by the roots. He uprooted us from the kingdom of darkness and he transplanted us into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of his Father. And once you and I are there, it doesn't end there. It's sad sometimes that people think all they need to do is get saved and then they're just going to skate through life. Because you're deceived if you believe that. You're not going to skate through life. This is the devil's world. And I'm talking about the system of the world, the political system. It's his world. And you cannot live in this world and not be affected by it. And so what we're talking about this morning, what I want to read to you from Colossians, is Paul is saying to the church, you do this, believer. You have this new life in Christ. Now this is what you need to do with it. Remember what Peter said? Be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a lion. Be sober. Be diligent. Be vigilant. Christianity is a life that is lived on purpose and with purpose. You know, you don't want to take it for granted. All right, he said, you set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's another reality that Paul's teaching takes place through the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ in faith, God forgives us of our sins. The Bible says he cancels the debt against us, nails it to the cross. He cancels the regulations of the law that was against us, nails that to the cross. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we're new creatures. Praise God. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That ought to thrill you, church. You didn't do that. He did. I didn't do it. I remember after I was saved about 3 or 4 days, my wife came and said, what is the matter with you? And I said, why? She said, you haven't cussed in 3 days. She was used to me being a ranting and raving and ill-tempered and foul-mouthed. And when I tried to tell, I hadn't told her what had happened. I hadn't told anybody. And when I tried to tell her, the tears just started running down my cheeks. I said, Jesus Christ, had mercy on me. And she went, wow. She had never seen me cry before. He had done a work in my life, and I knew it. I talked about that minister in the old rugged cross that was questioning. I question. I've been a Christian 40 years. There's still times I question things. But one thing that the devil can never push me past is my salvation experience. God did a work in my life. And I've seen him do that work in other people's lives. Totally change him. But understand, you don't stop there. That's a dangerous place to stop. Paul goes on to say, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, these are big sins in the church. We see these as big sins, and we say, well, that just stands to reason. But who did Paul say to put them to death? You. Well, I thought God did that. I thought God was the one that destroyed that sin nature when I received the Holy Spirit. God broke the power of sin over your life, believer. You're no longer under bondage to sin if you're a Christian. But what Paul say, you put it to death. That's done on purpose, church. That means when immoral thoughts come against you, when the temptation to lie comes against you, put it to death. Paul said, let the thief steal no more, but let him work with his hands that he can give to those who are in need. So at salvation, he said, the taker becomes a giver. The foul-mouthed person should become a clean-mouthed person. Paul said, you put it to death. Now, does he mean that we do that on our own? No, through the power of the Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. I still call on the name of the Lord after 40 years. Have mercy on me. Give me the strength to get through this. take this temptation away or provide a way out. He said, on account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. There it is again. You put them away. Now, this is a smaller list to me, a less significant list, and I really struggle with this at times. I've shared this before. He said, you put all them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. And I've asked God more than once over the last 40 years, how do I put anger away? I struggle with anger. I was told I have PTSD, and it manifests itself in men, especially in anger. And I have a pretty short fuse sometimes, and I know I do. And I don't like it. I don't like getting angry. I don't like blowing my lid. But sometimes I do. And I still struggle with this. And I say, Paul, how do you put that away? How can I put this anger away? When there's so many people around, you're going to make you angry. You know, maybe I just need to stay away from these people and I could put anger away. But it doesn't work that way. It's like when you say, God, give me patience. Don't pray that. Because I'll tell you what, there'll be things come around and you'll be saying, oh. And the Lord say, patience. Develop your patience. Well, can't you take this one? No, develop your patience. You prayed for patience. I was praying one time and I'd read the psalm where David repented over his sin with Bathsheba. And he said, wash me, Lord, from my sin. Purge me thoroughly. And I said, that's a good prayer. And I started praying, oh God, wash me from my sin. And all hell broke loose in my life. And I'm going, what are you doing? And I got the Strong's Concordance out. And you know what wash meant? Beat me. David said, beat me black and blue if you have to get that sin out of me. So I started saying, God, you know, I didn't quite understand what I was praying. Could I pull that back a little bit? He didn't let me. He says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. And here's what goes with this, and you have put on the new self. So you see, Paul doesn't say to us, Christian, you got to put this off and you got to put that off. You need to put that off. What's he saying? Then you put stuff on. You take off the old, you put on the new. In one passage that Paul talked about, he said we are to envelop ourselves in Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek, to my understanding, the Greek language, he says wrap Jesus around you. You know, people in those days wore, especially the men, they wore cloaks like robes, like a bathrobe, and you would put your robe on, your cloak on, and then tie it with a belt. And according to Strong's, that's what the Greek is saying. Paul said, surround yourself with Jesus. Wrap Jesus around you. Envelop yourself in Jesus. So here Paul says to the Colossians, now you have to put the old off, but you don't stop there, you put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then. Now he just talked about you need to take this off, put this off, you put it off. Now what's he saying? You put on. Now these things to me are available to us through the Holy Spirit, through the study of the Word, through prayer. These are attributes that we are to put on, Paul says. And these are attributes that the Holy Spirit is more than willing to help us develop. Compassion. Boy, we need compassion. Kindness. Humility. Meekness. Patience. Bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. I dare say that with a lot of us, that's one of the biggest struggles we have, is unforgiveness. Sometimes it's because of our egos. You know, I don't deserve to be treated like that. I don't deserve to have people say stuff like that. How dare they treat me that way? How dare they speak about me that way? And we want to hold a grudge. You remember what Jesus said? If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's not an option, church. And to me, that's cut and dried. He said, if you refuse to forgive those who've wronged you, God will not forgive you. That's that part of the Lord's Prayer that says, Lord, forgive us our debts just as we have forgiven those who have trespassed against us or our debtors. You ever think about what that's saying? God, I want you to forgive me the way I forgive other people. That'll make you backpedal sometimes. I know some people, you've been through terrible times. Maybe as a child. Maybe in later life. I've heard people, you know, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't know the pain that I've suffered. No, I don't. God does. One lady told me her father was an abusive drunk, and he pushed her mother one day in a drunken rage, and she hit her head on the table and died. She was 6 years old. Hated him. And I was doing Bible studies with this couple. They'd been attending the church I was going to, and they said they'd like to have an in-home study. And she said, if I become a Christian, do I have to forgive him? I said, you need to forgive him. I can't. I said, well, that's something you're going to have to struggle with on your own. I said, you come to Christ as you are, but you need to remember something. When he forgives you, he forgives it all. And who do you think you are to say, I'll forgive this, but I won't forgive that? And she told me for a while, she said, this is the only thing that keeps me from becoming a Christian. I want to be a Christian, but I just can't forgive him. I said, pray about it. She said, what really irks me is if my dad asks for forgiveness from what you've been telling me, God will forgive him. I said, yes. That isn't fair. My dad was a drunk bully, and he killed my mother in a rage, and God will forgive him for that. I said, he'll forgive him for that just as soon as he'll forgive you for the things you've done. I don't know your past. But God's willing to forgive. And I think that is one thing as Christians that we struggle with the most. I'm speaking on my part anyway, is forgiveness. Letting it go. So Paul said we need to forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. How much is that all? When you came to Christ, church, God didn't say, I'm going to forgive you of everything but this. I just can't forgive that. He didn't do that. He wiped the slate clean. He no longer holds it against you. You can go to him and pray about your past and say, I loathe the things that I've done. And I really believe God says, I don't know what you're talking about. Young man that I used to sell drugs to died of an intentional overdose. He committed suicide. And one of the guys I partied with came and told me about it. And I cannot describe the guilt and the pain and the blame that I felt. And I hit my knees and I said, God, I'm so sorry. I sold him drugs. And the Lord broke in and said, do you sell drugs now? And I said, no. He said, the man that sold those drugs to him is dead. Message received. Church, if you're struggling with forgiving someone, pray about it. Don't stuff it down and let it turn into bitterness and cause defilement in your life. Pray about it. Pray hard about it. Tell the Lord, I want to release this person. Ask him to help you with it. He will do it. I didn't mean to get off on forgiveness, but I think that's one of the biggest struggles in the church that any of us have today, and I'm speaking for myself especially. All right, we'll finish this text. And above all these, put on love. Well, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, Romans 5 says, yes. But you got to choose to show it. Paul said, put it on. Put on love. I wonder what would happen if we, in the morning when we got up, this might sound foolish, but if we'd say, God, I'm putting your love on today. I'm going to put on your love. I'm going to put on your compassion. I want to be more compassionate. That might be something to try, church. Put on love. What's Paul saying? Put on love. Love on purpose. Some people are easier to love than others. I'll just be honest with you. I've met Christians that I'm supposed to love, and I have a hard time liking them, you know. But the Bible doesn't say I get to choose in that. And you don't get to choose with me. You can pick your friends, but you stuck with your kin. You might as well learn to get along with me. I might as well learn to get along with you. Everybody has those family members that just, you kind of keep off to the side. They're kin, you know, but, well, it's the same way in the church. And he said, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let, allow. I really think there's times in my own life that the Holy Spirit has been trying to speak peace to me and say, now this is the way you need to go. And I didn't want to let it go. My mother's brother one time cussed her out. And I found out about it. And I went over, I hadn't been saved very long, so I still kind of rough around the edges. And I thought, well, I'll see if you want to talk to me that way. And I got over there, and he was working on a car and had a big old wrench in his hand. And the Spirit of God kept saying to me, a gentle word turns away wrath. A soft word turns away wrath. I'd been reading Proverbs. Don't you just hate it when God interrupts like that? You know, you're mad. I was mad, and I had my mind made up. I'm going to go over there and say, I don't care if she is your sister. You don't talk to my mother that way, and if you do, you and me's going to have problems. And when I got there, him and a guy were working on a car, and he turned around, and he had that wrench in his hand, took a defensive stance. He knew why I was there. And that scripture hit me again. A soft word turns away wrath. And through gritted teeth, I said, you're my uncle, and I love you. Boy, that wrench just went down to his side. I hate it when God does that. I want to be Joe Bad. You know, you do that again, you'll be spitting teeth out for a week. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. All of a sudden, it wasn't about me. I didn't have to try to impress somebody. I went there, and he knew I was a Christian. He was probably waiting to see what kind of reaction I was going to give. And it was the Spirit of God. I talk about the Spirit of God speaking to us, the Lord speaking to us, and some people think that I'm kind of freaked out, you know. Rick's weird. He thinks God talks to him. Well, I think it's weird if God doesn't talk to you. You need to get saved. The Spirit of God speaks to you through the Word, just like I shared with you. That scripture from Proverbs kept running through my mind. I didn't memorize it. That's how the Spirit of God speaks to you. And Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule. Allow it. What does that take on my part? Humbly receiving the word. God says, try it. What do you got to lose? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. I've seen people with anxiety problems. I've had some anxiety, but I've seen people that are really way off the scale. And I stand there and think, how can you just freak out like this all the time? Here's my advice to you if you suffer with anxiety. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. What does the word say? Well, I don't know. I haven't read it in a while. Pick it up and read it. And when you read it, receive it. These are these great and precious promises, Peter said, that God has given to us, whereby we may be partakers of the divine nature. No, you're not divine. I'm not divine. We're the branch. He's divine. But it means that God is willing to put these things in us through the Spirit of God if we will allow it. So you see, church, I firmly believe, and I think Paul did, that our transformation into children of God takes effort on our part. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you, don't watch TV. I've heard them old-time preachers, boy, that TV, that's the devil's box. You don't want to watch TV. You don't want to go to movies. I'm not going to do that. But is it important what you watch? What you spend your time in. Is it important what you spend your time reading? Yes. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Beloved, what we put in abundance is what's going to come out. You put a bunch of garbage in, you're going to get a bunch of garbage out. We can't be reading worldly novels and watching worldly entertainments all the time and then wonder why we're not growing. We all need that time, one-on-one time with the Lord, with His Word. You know, in prayer. I don't spend the time in prayer I should. But one thing that I've learned in prayer, it's not just a time for me to speak to Him, it's time for Him to speak to me. That's a two-way communication in prayer. If we will speak to the Father, He will speak to us. I'm not talking about a burning bush experience. There's so many people today getting hung up on visions and dreams. And I ain't interested in that. My God, 99.9% of the time that He's ever spoke to me, it's that still, quiet voice. Like Elijah heard. You have an active role in whether or not you're going to grow in Christ. You have a free will. It's up to you to decide, where am I going to spend my time? Am I going to devote any time to the Lord at all? That needs to be something you do every day. If you're not a morning person, do it in the evening. You need to pick a time of day that you shut the phone off, shut off the TV, open the Word of God and say, this is our time, Lord. Teach me. But then, as James said, don't be just a hearer of the Word, be a doer of the Word. It won't do any good if you don't put it into practice. Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly. Again, you allow it. Allow Christ's word to dwell in you. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do you know, if you're a believer, you might be the only Bible some people ever read. Your actions will speak a lot louder than your words. I firmly believe that the world's tired of hearing about Jesus. They're looking to see Him. And we claim that He lives within us. Let's let Him out. Let's do as Paul says. Let's be transformed. Let's work in sync with the Spirit of God and be changed into the people He wants us to be. And it's all for His glory, not for ours. Would you stand with me this morning? Well, I said you might get out of here early. I didn't say you would. So. I want to encourage you, spend some time with the Lord, one-on-one time. All of us need it. I'm reminded of a time that it said the people were thronging Jesus and his disciples so they couldn't even eat. And Jesus said to the men, come with me by yourselves to a desert place. That invitation still goes, church. The Spirit of Christ still says that to the heart of every believer. You come spend some time with me. You got to have that time.